Hey, South Bend City Church, Mariah here, the director of Art and Worship. We're so thankful that you chose to join us today, and we are so grateful that whether you are local or long distance, you are a part of our community. Before we get to this weekend's teaching, just a couple things to keep in mind in the life of our community. First of all, if you've been listening for any amount of time, you've been hearing us talk about new to South Bend City Church tables, an opportunity for those who are new to South Bend City Church to learn more about us, get to meet other people who consider this to be their community. Well, I've got some exciting news for our long distance community members. We have added a digital version of our new to South Bend City Church table for June. So on June 3rd at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we will be jumping on Zoom to have a digital version of our new to South Bend City Church table. This will take the same form, and we encourage you to bring dinner or whatever that looks like for you, and we'll just have a chance to talk together, get to know each other, and maybe you learn a little bit more about who we are and how we do church. If you want to jump into the digital version of this, whether you are long distance or maybe you're local and this is more accessible for you, we would love for you to join us on June 3rd at 8:30. You can jump in the show notes below. Or if you live locally and are able to make it in person, we would love to meet you. We've got a couple spots left for our May 5th New to South Bend City Church table. That'll be happening right after our second gathering at around 12:15. And we've got another opportunity on June 2nd for our in-person community members. For all of these, we need RSVPs because if you're in person, we would love to provide lunch for you. And if you are jumping into our digital Zoom, we need to make sure you get your Zoom link. So feel free to sign up for any of those dates in the link in the show notes below. Our other announcement for this weekend is actually our quarterly financial update. One of our values here at South Bend City Church is to be transparent and open about our finances. And so every quarter we give an update on where we stand year to date. To do so, I am going to turn it over to Matt Graybill, our executive pastor, as he walked us through this weekend our quarterly financial update.
We have made it a practice and almost a discipline to share financial updates with you. Now, I know some of you start to like twitch when you hear about finances in church. It is our goal not to, I know I've been a part of spaces where it's in church spaces, it can be manipulative in terms of how pastors or church leaders talk about money. Our goal is to be transparent and authentic about where we are and where we're going and how you can be a part. So feel free to ask questions along the way, but we have taken each quarter just to say, hey, here's where we're at. So it's not a surprise to anyone. So some of these numbers might not make sense. I'll try to do my best to explain them along the way. Our financial process is we changed our fiscal year to July 1. So our fiscal year is July 1 through June 30th. That helps us plan a little bit better because sometimes end of year, calendar year, tends to be large giving in church spaces. So to help us plan, we actually shifted it to the summer. So this quarterly financial update reflects July 1st through March 31st, so our third quarter. So a couple numbers to throw at you here. Our general fund giving year to date, which would be our fiscal year to date from a July 1st, would be $515,050. General fund, just as a note, compromises our ministry, things that happen, kids and students and tables and gatherings. It also covers our operations, such as lights and electricity and utilities and this space, and then our personnel, paying for staff and benefits and things like that. Our total giving year to date is $944,281. Now, you might be wondering, what's the difference between total giving and general giving? So a couple other funds that you have contributed to, which have been really beneficial for our community. One of those is the CARE Fund. This fund goes towards helping people that have landed on some hard times. Maybe it's housing, or maybe it's meals, or maybe it's just needing some assistance with some medical bills. That would go above our general fund. The Tribune Project, the space that we're in here now, would go above our general fund. Refugee assistance has been something else people have contributed to help those that have relocated into our community. So that would all be encompassed in our total giving year to date, which is amazing. I just think of this community. It's a scrappy little community, and to think of over $900,000 being given towards what's happening here in this community in the city is really quite astounding. So our budgeted expenditures, our budget for the year is $725,000. That third quarter is $543,701. You'll see that our actual expenditures are less than that. So we're spending less than we've actually budgeted, which is $521,347. Now you'll notice a gap between our expenditures and what's been given so far. A little over $10,000 or a little under $10,000 there. We're not nervous about that, but it's just something that we just want to, like, as we look at the dashboard, want to pay attention to what's coming in and what's going out, and then we plan our budget accordingly. And then a few other things, but I just think this is really helpful. To our total number of donors is 288, which is quite remarkable, because on any given Sunday, our average attendance is around 350. And then general fund donors is 227, and new donors year to date is 57, which is quite remarkable. So if you haven't been giving, we'd love for you to join us. You can go to southbendcitychurch.com. You can set up a reoccurring gift, or you can give in the little black boxes as you leave. If this was a stressful announcement, we're going to have a liturgy of love. So take a deep breath, but we're really glad that you're here with us.
All right. So the plan is for you to have that liturgy of love coming up this Thursday. And so keep an eye out for that. But now let's get into our teaching for the weekend. After wrestling with Paul in chapters 9 through 11, this week we shifted our attention to one of the most well-known and beloved passages in Scripture, chapter 12. Here, Paul shares with the community in Rome what he believes it means to be a true human being. He offers wisdom on how to become a community and how to use our uniqueness to support that community. As South Bend City Church continues to grow and flourish as a community, we're called to move from the theoretical to the practical and to reflect upon what we are uniquely created to do and how we are using our uniqueness to practically impact ourselves, our city, and the world. This weekend, we had the opportunity to hear from our beloved community member, Dr. Angela Logan. In addition to being a South Bend City Church community member, Dr. Logan is an associate teaching professor and the St. Andre Bessette Academic Director of the Master of Nonprofit Administration in the Mendoza College of Business at the University of Notre Dame. Whew, I think I got that right. We are so thankful to have Dr. Logan back to give us this weekend's teaching. All right, let's jump in with the rest of our community now.
Good morning, friends. Good morning. I'm Angela, and it is an honor and privilege to be back on the sacred rug for the first time in 9 months and the first time in the Trib. I gotta say, just as an aside, as Mariah was praying, a song came to my spirit that I'm hoping one day the band will learn, and it's Stevie Wonder's Love's in Need of Love Today. Don't delay, send your letter right away. Hate's going round, breaking many hearts. Stop it, please, before it goes too far. We're gonna learn it at some point as a community. Amen. For those of you who don't know, I am a proud product of the capital B, capital C, capital T, Black church tradition. That means I am giving you the permission and the freedom to talk back to me. Is that all right? Amen. Okay. Congratulations. We have survived the gnarliness that was Romans 9 and 11. I don't know about you, but I was pretty sure I was not going to make it through. But by the grace of God, we all made it through. As our collective reward, today, I am going to present to you my take on one of the most well-known and beloved passages in Scripture. Friends, we are back to Happy Clappy Paul, and I, for one, give God thanks and praise. But before I take us to where we're going, I want to pause and take us to where we've been. Like Paul, I am a practical theologian and a public scholar. I believe in helping the small C church become the big C church. I also believe in learning and sharing Scripture and repairing toxic theology for the community and for myself. Amen, curtains. The letter of Paul that we've been studying for the last 365 weeks is a letter written to a community that's navigating questions that come up around difference and diversity. They're trying to figure out who's in, who's out, who's somewhere in the middle, in the messy middle that is faith. Paul believes that the gospel makes this kind of community happen. And spoiler alert, so do I. He takes seriously the idea that we're up against some huge cosmic challenges, things like death and sin. But he believes, even more importantly, the idea that the spirit of life, which is in each and every one of us, is there to help us overcome sin and death. Now that we know where we've been, you ready to go where we're going? All right, let's do this. But first, a story. From April 1st through May 1st, I will have done 6 presentations, facilitated a 2-day board retreat, preached, and wrapped up the academic year. When I tell you, amen, somebody, because when I tell you that my tired is tired, I'm not even joking a little bit. In 2 weeks ago, in fact, over the course of 1 week, I did a presentation on imposter syndrome on Monday, then turned around and did a presentation to 75 nonprofit leaders on resilience and how to survive and thrive in this crazy mixed up world. Then I left that retreat, hopped on a plane, flew to Raleigh to attend the Post Evangelical Collective, which, as Pastor Jason mentioned last week, is a community of like-minded believers across the country who come together and believe in many of the same things that we as a community believe in. I was in Raleigh on Wednesday, hopped on a plane Wednesday night, drove to Columbus, Ohio Thursday morning, facilitated a 2-day board retreat, and then did part of their preaching intensive, got home on Saturday night, Monday morning, did another workshop on anti-racism. I have no more words. You all should be really glad that I have these words, because I don't even know what words are at this point. Now, you may be asking yourself, why did I share all of that other than for a little bit of sympathy and a little bit of grace? I promise you it will all make sense in the sweet by and by if you just hang with me, okay? And now on to the text. Romans 12, 1-8, happy clappy Paul, reads as follows. Dear friends, God is good. We could just stop right there and be done. So I beg you to offer your bodies to him as a living sacrifice, pure and pleasing. That's the most sensible way to serve God. Don't be like people of this world, but let God change the way you think. Then you will know how to do everything that is good and pleasing to him. I realize God has treated me with undeserved grace. I could stop right there. And so I tell each of you not to think you are better than you really are. Facts. Use good sense and measure yourself by the amount of faith that God has given you. A body is made up of many parts, and each of them has its own use. That's how it is with us. There are many of us, but we are each part of the body of Christ, as well as part of one another. God has also given each of us different gifts to use. If you can prophesy, you should do it according to the amount of faith we have. If we can serve others, we should serve. If we can teach, we should teach. If we can encourage others, we should encourage them. If we can give, we should be generous. If we are leaders, we should do our best. If we are good to others, you should do it cheerfully. That's a lot in those 8 verses. I recognize that, But thankfully, I have spent the past few weeks unpacking it for you. And so I'm here to tell you what Paul is what I believe Paul is trying to say in these eight verses. In these eight verses, Paul makes three clear movements. The first is how to becoming a true human being. Secondly, Paul offers us some wisdom. And lastly, he shows us how to use our gifts in a good way. Becoming a true human being. In verses 1 and 2, Paul gives us encouragement and instruction on how to be good people. In fact, in one translation, the First Nations version, which I'm coming to love deeply, the text reads as follows. Do not permit the ways of this world to mold and shape you. Instead, let Creator God change you from the inside out. In a way, a caterpillar becomes a butterfly. He will do this by giving you a new way of thinking, seeing, and walking. Paul's text reminds us, not unlike our mantra on the wall, that we are image bearers, made in the image of God. Everyone is an icon. We are all called by God uniquely to live and move and walk in a way that God has uniquely designed us to do. We are called as members of the community to walk to the beat of a different drummer. Not unlike a certain scriptural person that we all know and love, Jesus. Jesus was a transformed nonconformist. We are called to be like Jesus. We are called to be nonconformists. Jesus was very much a political person. He was not a partisan person. And I don't know if you know it or not, but there's an election coming up in the U.S. this fall. We are called to be political, but not partisan, just like Jesus. We are called to be transformed nonconformists. Conformity is a tyrannical force that prevents many sincere people from taking a stand on critical matters. We are called to take a stand like Jesus. We are called to live in community and to live out our unique gifting and calling from God. But being a nonconformist is risky. Many of us have had to pay a high price for being nonconformists. And this takes us to Paul's second movement, some wisdom that Paul offers. For many of us, coming to South Bend City Church has cost us dearly. Some of us have lost friendships. Some of us have lost connections to family. A couple of us have lost our very livelihoods. But we have done it because we are called to be nonconformists and to conform to the way that Jesus is calling us. Being in community costs us much, but what we give up pales in comparison to what we gain. We are called to live a life of generosity and justice, just as Jesus showed us. We are called to live into a current of connection. Don't underestimate the power and the promise of connection. Connection can protect, it can encourage, it can support. Those of us who have come here have had to endure the loss of relationships, and so for us, connection is even more valuable. We actually can learn from nature what it means to live in connection and to get support from the community. How many of you have ever heard of the phenomenon known as the reindeer cyclone or the reindeer swarm? you don't count. One person has heard of it. This is something that archaeologists have found that has existed as far back as the era of the Vikings. When a community of reindeer feel as though they're under attack, they do this incredibly unique dance. As the video will show you, podcast friends, this video, the link to the video will be in the podcast notes. If the community senses harm or a predator, whether it's a four-legged predator like a bear or a two-legged predator like another, like a person, the community of reindeer actually come together and move at one pace in one direction. But you'll notice in the center of this swarm are reindeer that aren't moving as quickly. Those are the reindeer that have been harmed or have been damaged, they've been injured, and they've been broken. Their community has decided that in order to protect them, they will form a swarm around them. Predators cannot get to them. Notes from archaeologists said the Vikings counted, and in some ways, they had to go through 13 layers of reindeer to get to the most vulnerable. So they just stopped. So the reindeer will continue to move at a pace to protect the weak and vulnerable until either the predator has gone away or those who are vulnerable are more strengthened. Once they are stronger, they'll move out into the outer ring and continue on their path until the community again runs into a predator and they form the swarm again, protecting the weak and the vulnerable until they are able to move on. If that is not an example of what the Big C Church should look like, I don't know what is. The church is a community that is designed to protect the weakest among us. Whether we come from a historically, racially, or ethnically marginalized community, whether you are a member of our LGBTQIA plus kin, whatever your background, your socioeconomic status, your sociolocation, as a community, when the world is making you feel weak and vulnerable, your community of faith will swarm you and surround you and build you up until you are ready to fight on. Now be very clear, those of us on the outside, we are at the greatest risk of being attacked. But because we're on the outside, we are the strongest and we can fight the hardest for the most vulnerable. As my parents used to say, borrowing a line from Peter Parker's Uncle Ben, with great power comes great responsibility. Those of us on the outside of the swarm are called to protect those of us who are on the inside. And then when we get tired on the outside, we make our way on the inside, and those who've been on the inside come on to the outside. We rally around each other, supporting each other, creating a sustainable practice of living and a way to support one another. That, my friends, is what living in community and collective as a church that Paul was trying to teach us. Paul's final movement in chapters 1 and verses 1 through 8 is using the gifts that you've been given in a good way. Here's where I shift from the theoretical to the practical. How can we, as an island of misfit toys, insurgent, scrappy band that once lived behind a fence that GPS couldn't find, but is now placed firmly in downtown, how can we live into the ways that God has called us to live using the gifts and talents that God has given us? I've got three ways. The first is to volunteer. The second is the South Bend City Collective. And the third is through generosity. Exhale, take a breath. Volunteering. When Paul talks in verses 6 through 8, He talks about using the gifts that you are given to use them in a certain way. If you are called to teach, teach. If you are called to encourage, encourage. Paul doesn't say, if you're called to encourage, you should teach. And if you're called to teach, you should encourage. Practically speaking, unless the band is looking for someone to play either the triangle or the air guitar, you will never find me in the band for this community. Karen and I have established a code where I only volunteer in kids' ministry if it is an all deck on hand Sunday and everybody needs to be sick and out of town and I need a note. And even then, there are only certain ages that I will work with. But Miss Angela loves all the babies, she really does. I am great with hospitality, but only on big events. But communion, that's my jam. I love coordinating and serving communion. There is no greater joy for me than to be able to look someone in the eye and share the gift of that sacrament. Whatever your jam is, find that jam and live into it. Do not work with kids if you don't like kids. Do not try out to sing worship if your musical talents can best be described as cannot carry a tune in a bucket with a handle. In Jesus' name. The South Bend City Collective. This has existed almost from day one. It's one of the great joys that I have found in Facebook, that and connecting with friends and seeing their kids grow up. The collective is an opportunity for us to serve together outside of 226 North Lafayette. This is an opportunity to say, hey, I want to take Spanish lessons at La Casa de Amistad. Who wants to join me? It's an opportunity to say, hey, I want to read a book. Anybody want to read a book with me? And we build community together. This is another way for the reindeer swarm to show up in this place. We come together as a community to support each other. Hey, we all live out in Goshen. We need to try and find a way to come together. Let's get together for lunch once a month. Whatever it is that brings you to community, something you want to do together, the collective is the way you do it. Springtime, I think, is coming, so baseball is coming. Hey, let's go and do some baseball together. The QR code is up on the screens. Podcast friends, that will be provided to you as well. And now, the last way that I see Paul calling us to use our gifts in a good way is through generosity. When I was growing up in the Church of God, Anderson, Indiana, there was a pastor named Frank Matthews who used to always come to the church to visit other congregations. But when he came, everybody knew that when Frank Matthews got up, he was going to talk about offering. It's just what it was going to happen. You made peace with it. As I was working on this teaching, I said to my dad, Daddy, he's going to turn me into the Frank Matthews of South Bend City Church. Because every time I get up here, I have to talk about the money. And my father said, as only a father could say, well, it sounds to me like two things are at play. The first is that he knows that you teach this stuff. So you're going to take care in how you discuss generosity in the community, and you're going to stamp out the bad theology related to money when you come up and talk about money. And the second reason, didn't you tell me that he usually forgets to ask for money anyway? So maybe he's just having you do it so that way he doesn't have to have you do it on the back end. Well, when he's right, he's right. My father was right about that. Generosity is joy. To quote Saint Teresa of Calcutta, joy is prayer. Joy is strength. joy is love. Joy is a net of love by which you can catch souls. She gives most who gives with joy. The best way to show our gratitude to God and the people is to accept everything with joy. A joyful heart is the inevitable result of a heart burning with love. But being happy with God now means loving as God loves, helping as God helps, giving as God gives, serving as God serves, rescuing as God rescues, being with God for all 24 hours, touching God in God's distressing disguise, volunteering, the collective, and giving are all ways that we can live in the reindeer swarm. Some of us may not have the bandwidth to volunteer right now, and that's okay, because those of us who can, we move to the outside and we volunteer. Those of us who aren't really creative or who don't really hang out with a lot of people, we're not going to suggest things on the collective, but if you offer, I'll probably say no, but just keep offering and inviting me anyway, because one day I'll show up. And giving, you may not have much to give, but if you have the capacity and the ability to give, whether it's your time, your talent, or your financial resources, we honor and celebrate that. I, personally, one of my love languages, in addition to memes and food, is giving. I love to give. I find joy in giving, and maybe you don't, and that's okay. But I will always give as much as I am able, whenever I'm able, for whatever reason that it is able. Give as you feel led to give, and if you don't have it, we appreciate you for even thinking about it. We good? All right. To quote Henry Nouwen, often known as the pastor of fundraising, when Jesus fed 5,000 people with only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, he was showing us how God's love can multiply the effects of our generosity. God's kingdom is the place of abundance where every generous act overflows its original bounds and becomes part of the unbounded grace of God at work in the world. So as you volunteer through the volunteer link, connect on the collective, or give of your talents in whatever way that you can, know that God is multiplying that and making it bigger and expanding the reach of the kingdom. Remember that story I told at the beginning, which was not just for sympathy, but it was also for sympathy? As I was driving to the board retreat in Columbus, listening to the podcast, I heard the board members talking about having imposter syndrome and worrying how they were going to get support and feel supported in this season of ministry. As I sat in the Post-Evangelical Collective National Gathering, I sat with pastors and leaders who were still grieving about the communities they had lost because they had decided to live as true human beings. And as I sat in on the early session of the preaching intensive, I saw that God, through nature, had given us the model of what it means to be a community of grace and peace, the reindeer swarm. When one is vulnerable, they come to the inside, and the rest of us surround them until they're strong enough to fight on. God's gift and grace showed up in my life in unexpected ways. I only had to pause and listen long and pay attention long enough to listen. Amen. One final thought from my princess and soon to be Yale Law graduate? Yes. The longer you stay at any institution, they will inevitably disappoint you. Friends, be very clear. Do not get caught up thinking that you have found the perfect church. We are an imperfect people, loved and called by a perfect God. We will disappoint you. Let me say that again for the TV in the corner. We will disappoint you. You know why? Because we disappoint ourselves. We miss the mark over and over again. But as an imperfect people, loved by a perfect God, we too are in the middle of that reindeer swarm, loving each other well and building each other up until we have forgiven ourselves and forgiven one another so that disappointments can turn into opportunities for growth. As you are able, please stand so that I may speak a blessing over you as our benediction. Some of these words come from the Irish poet and priest, John O'Donohue. May the light of your soul guide you. May the light of your soul bless the work you do with the secret love and warmth of your heart. May you see what you do with beauty coming from your own soul. May it release within you wellsprings of refreshment, inspiration, and excitement. May you be present in what you do. May the day never burden you. May the dawn find you awake and alert, approaching new dreams with possibility and promise. May your evenings find you gracious and fulfilled. And may you know that you are in the middle of a reindeer swarm that is filled with imperfect people, but that we are all loved by a perfect God, and we are called to do what we can to bring justice and peace to the world. I ask this in the name of the one whom the ancients called wonderful. And may grace and peace be with you. Love you, friends. See you soon.